Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman. I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. This is the Old Testament poetry class. We'd like to welcome you to it. And today we're looking at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, so if you'd be so kind as to turn there in your Bibles, we'll get started with our Bible reading and lesson, which is entitled The Psalm of the Pious. The Psalm of the Pious. The word pious, if you're not familiar with that, basically is a synonym for godly. The Psalm 34 has the title A Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. That's the title given to Psalm 34, and let's go ahead and read it. Is everybody there? Psalm 34? Yes? No? Okay. Psalm 34, start with verse 1, read to the end. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his precious word. All right, let's take a look at this psalm briefly. appears that the last part of this psalm is messianic, applied in the New Testament to Christ. The ancient title given to this Hebrew alphabetized psalm, the lines are alphabetized, according to the Hebrew alphabet, the ancient title given to this alphabetized psalm is obviously not one given to it by its author, King David. There are actually no real references in the entire psalm to the ordeal that King David went through with the king of Gath, Achish, capital A-C-H-I-S-H, a Philistine king. Now, this incident occurred, that the title refers to, back in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through to chapter 22, verse 1. For those of you not familiar with that, who haven't taken the historical class, the one on the historical Israel, let's go ahead and read that. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through chapters 22, verse 1, which says, quote, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish the king of Gath, and he changed his behavior before him, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad? Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? I have need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam, capital A-D-U-L-O-M-O-L-A-M, excuse me. As you can see, there is no hint of any of this in Psalm 34. One famous commentator, Calvin, goes into situational ethics in his explanation of this psalm. Matter of fact, the whole entire psalm, following the setting of the title. Basically, King David was not condemned for his pretending to be insane before the enemy king. It can be said somewhat accurately that David was motivated by higher laws, that of preservation of life, and the preservation, most importantly, of the future of God's kingdom, which he was the main representative of. Powerless, King David drew upon the attitude of the ancient disgust of insanity and the fear of evil spirits that the ancients had of evil spirits dwelling in people. He used that fear in order to escape certain death. Now, if the title is accurate and goes with the psalm, which it probably does, even though there is no internal evidence, Then indeed, the psalm shows great joy and thankfulness for God's great blessings and deliverance. Joy gives wings to the soul. So look at verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. This testifies of the joy of the Lord that reigns in our hearts as He blesses and delivers us from evil on a daily basis. Sometimes we're not even aware of it. So yes, we should be glorifying God in our hearts and lives, in word and deed, that others may be encouraged and rejoice also. The soul, referred to here in feminine terms, in feminine form, indicates loving emotion. Verses 3 through 5. Let's move on to verses 3 through 5. Unless there's questions. Okay. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. End quote. We are to encourage ourselves as well as others to hold His name up in high regard. We are to do this together to avoid the sin of envy of another's blessings. We must remember that we are all different and different purposes while here on earth. We all have different missions on earth, different purposes, so we have different blessings. So, our blessings are really not the same. So, if so-and-so gets something, don't be envious or jealous. We're all different. So, we are to rejoice in God's marvelous gifts, large and small. Remember, the Israelites were not permitted to enter the promised land due to disobedience and grumbling against God for 40 years. Faith means positive patience and thankfulness unto our God. Faith means positive patience and thankfulness unto our God. Verses 6 and 7, quote, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. End quote. Here we see the true heart of the pious godly. The broken and contrite heart is near and dear to God. He hears the cry of the humble, and yes, there is reward in heaven for our heartfelt cries and prayers to Him. Our time with Him in our times of trouble and rejoicing are special to God and should be with us as well. Of interest here is the Lord encamping around the saints. The Hebrew word manhanaim, capital M-A-H-A-N-A-I-M, used here for the encamping angels refers way back to Genesis chapter 32, verses 1 and 2, which says, quote, and Jacob went on his way. You don't have to turn back to Genesis 32. I'm just going to read it for you. Genesis 32, verses 1 and 2. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim, that Jacob, what Jacob saw, end quote, what Jacob saw was a double host or double encampment of angels that were all around him. Amazing. Truly an amazing sight, not seen by the eye of the flesh. Similar to that of Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. In that section, which has a similar sighting, the Syrian king had sent a huge army Elisha's way. Excuse me. And this is what transpired. Let me read that section to you. 2 Kings 6, 14 through 17. Therefore sent he, that is the enemy king, thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God, that is Elijah's servant, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. Oh boy. Sorry. His servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he, that is Elijah, answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. End quote. God delivered Elisha that day, and he delivers us out of all our troubles. Question comes up, but what of those problems and troubles that seem to never go away? Important question. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9, which says, lest I, Paul, should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he, that is God, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. End quote. Even the Apostle Paul had problems that just wouldn't go away. And for these, we are told to rely on God's strength and grace. Verses 8 and 9. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is not want to them that fear him. End quote. Some Roman Catholic interpreters refer this taste and see to the taking of the Eucharist elements. However, this is a very far stretch of the imagination, and it's only wishful thinking on their part. Some evangelicals reference this to Hebrews chapter 4, of those who only taste God's blessings and not internalize them. That interpretation is also somewhat questionable, but it is not quite as bad as the Roman Catholic attempt at application, their use of the phrase. Instead, it is better to understand these verses to mean that we are to satisfy our hunger with God's goodness. The taste is most desirable part of our portion of food. We want our food to taste good. And it makes it a lot more pleasurable to eat, doesn't it? but the lost apparently are tasteless and don't enjoy the tasty blessings of God with proper appreciation, and simply devour and quite often waste their blessings, forgetting who actually gave them their blessings each day and not thanking him for it. Esau was a good example of this in Genesis chapter 27 when he decided to throw away his God-given blessings for a bowl of soup. The Jews have a tradition that God creates a new angel for each Jew born. Now, this is their guardian angel. We see, however, in the New Testament that plural terms are used, more than one that is, are used in regard to angels ministering to the elect. Referring to angels, the writer of Hebrews states in chapter 1, verse 14, quote, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? End quote. Angels, ministering spirits to those who shall be heirs of salvation. As seen in our Old Testament examples, there is much more than one, just one. There's many more than just one or even two guiding and ministering angels to us. Ever wonder why there is such a great host of angels pictured in the book of Revelation? What purpose do they have? They all have a purpose, and many of them, untold numbers, many of them have the purpose of watching over the saved. We are part of Christ's inheritance. So Christ's inheritance is not just the earth. It is his bride, we are part of his inheritance. We are given to him, and he loses none. Not only do we have a good shepherd leading us, the Holy Spirit guiding and comforting us, but we have a heavenly host surrounding us. Sadly, sometimes Christians usher the enemy into the circle in times of weakness. Instead of doing that, instead, keep your guard up, keep your minds stayed upon him, and sing the praise of our God. Sing the psalm of the pious continuously. One way or another, give him the praise and honor. With that, let's close our lesson with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this thy word and how it is a comfort to us. We thank thee for watching over us and providing for us. We ask that you'll forgive us of our unthankfulness all too often. Help us, Lord, to act in accordance with all your great blessings and give thee the praise. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for sending thy Son to die on the cross for us that we might enjoy fellowship with thee and all these blessings. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit who comforts us daily and watches over us, as well as your protection. And we thank thee for just watching over each one, whether we are aware of it or not. Pray now for all the requests each one of us have. Help us, Lord, to trust Thee for these things. We ask now that You'll be with us and guide us throughout the day. Help us, Lord, to serve Thee as we should, and be with us as we witness to others. We pray for the sick and the lost, and those in need. We ask You Your blessings upon each one, Your tender, loving care. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who gave Himself for us. Amen.